Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Billboard Sharpie Podcast. Gary Truss, Billboard Senior Director of Charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at Billboard.
Taping this on Tuesday, November 6th.
Election Day. By the time I guess anybody hears this, it'll be too late. But I feel like any celebrity or any post that we've seen all day today has been saying, go out and vote. So we're going to, you know what, we're going to keep the message alive. We're going to get a head start on 2020. We're going to remind people again, get out and vote.
And since this is posting on Thursday, we don't know what the mood is in the country. We'll think good things for everybody. How about that?
that's a very diplomatic way of putting it. Hopefully your preferred candidates won, and hopefully we can all agree to get along and start being a little nicer to each other and work back towards more common goals.
Maybe this is a better thing for everybody to focus on. There was a tweet the other day about podcasts. It's called Podcast Bingo. And it's this grid of things that happen in every podcast, sort of mocking the podcast process.
Ah, yes, of course.
Should we see if we've been offenders of any of these things?
Okay.
Yeah. Episode longer than 60 minutes.
Yep. Check. Easy.
Didn't say 2 hours, but we've almost done that.
But 60 minutes, yeah, that's impressive.
When someone says, see you next time, even though no one's seeing anyone.
Okay, more cultural, you know, sort of established phrase, but fine. I guess we have.
Rate and review our podcast. I don't think we ever said
that. No, we have not. Yeah. Maybe we need to start. Oh God, maybe I don't want the reviews though.
Just two friends talking about pop culture.
Wow, that's a lie, I guess, on this particular stage, but
the friends part?
Yeah, something in there might be. Because we're two best friends. That's the thing that's missing.
Once we always have guests. That's my thing about it. I feel like if you have access to people, in this case in the industry, I feel like we should have them. So plucky banjo music. Our theme song is not a banjo, but it's acoustic.
Fine.
This week on the pod.
Oh my God, the pod? Phrase pod?
See, I don't like the word pod.
I can't pod it either.
It's a podcast.
It just sounds, I don't know if it's because it sounds like Tide Pod or just like Alien Pod.
Thanks for coming on the show / glad to be here. When you have a guest, you can't just start talking. Do something.
That is the good old, that's an insert phrase into beginning of any interview.
I like this one. Music post after revealing an interesting fact or thought. I'd love, we say something funny or interesting, you go right into a song afterwards, the perfect transition. I like that. I'm going to keep doing that.
You see, Gary's a student of the classics, I guess.
And the last one, 10 minutes of warm up before conversation actually starts.
Oh crap!
which we just did.
Oh damn it! Oh,
have to have a gimmicky intro, right?
It's funny. You can never get straight to the point. It's like when you do it, you always want to like throw something in, but when you hear somebody else, you're like, okay, I'm here for, you know, politics. I'm here for sports. I'm not here for what happened last week at the flea market.
We have to force that we have personality.
Well, I think the people get a good read on our personality throughout the episode, and I guess rate and review us and let us know what you think about us after this. All right. So let's...
Now we can get into it.
Yeah. Give them what they're here for.
All right. Lots happening on the Hot 100 this week. The Billboard 200, notable chart action on other charts, and a special guest, because it's not just two friends talking about pop culture. We've got Jagger, program director of WKSS, KISS 95.7 in Hartford, who is going to talk about how Ariana Grande is enjoying two hits at once on Top 40 radio with God is a Woman and Breathing. They're both rising right now in the Top 40 chart, and she may even have a third hit soon that was just released. So we're going to talk all things Ariana Grande, more of what's going on at pop radio with Jagger coming up. Flashback this week is, Trevor?
All right, we are going to take it back 1, 2, 3 decades. We are going to flash all the way back to 1988. We are going to be looking at a song that was number one on the Hot 100 around this time. And per usual, we're going to use that as a launching pad to jump into some of the biggest hit makers, really, in Hot 100 history. And we're going to find sort of a common thread that they all share. So we'll look forward to that. I know, a little cryptic. We always got to keep it a little cryptic for Gary, but... hang on, Gary. The mystery will be revealed soon enough.
No, I'm 1988. I'm happy. That was my first year of really following music, so I'm looking forward to whatever it is.
I like how you know the year you started following music.
Oh, yeah. No, it was almost overnight.
All right. Well, stay tuned for that.
Also, this is the first of two podcasts this week. We have another one. This is posting on Thursday. We'll tell you at the end who the other one is. Big guest. So really excited to have it's a full interview podcast. So we'll tell you who it is coming up right now. This week's top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 10. Number 9.
So high, but you're far away to hold me. You know I'm the one who put you up there. Name in the sky, does it ever get
too hard? Don't stand too close, you gon' fuck around and drown. Off this way, doing all these shows.
Number 8.
I've been on the road, I don't care where I go, long as I get paid. Bad little vibe, she been on my mind. Soon as I get back, she can stay. Do this all the time.
See you want me, see you want me.
Number 7.
Till I land, have me out
number
like
two.
A light, like a light, like a light, like a light.
You gonna find me, do what I want when I come through. I need you.
And number one.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I need you.
Wrapping things up, number one for a seventh week in a row. That is Maroon 5 with the song Girls Like You, featuring frequent Hot 100 hitmaker Cardi B. So the song, of course, number one on the Hot 100 for 7 weeks, as mentioned. If you're a big fan of Maroon 5 and this podcast, you'll know that radio is the big metric keeping this song alive at the top of the chart. Number one on the radio songs chart for a, count it, 15th week. So it's closing in very quickly on the all-time record, which is 18 weeks for the song Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. Of course, 18 minus 15 is 3. So if Maroon 5 can hold on for just 3 more weeks, and they've already done it for 15, they will tie the all-time record for the chart, which started back in 1990. Gary, you feeling good about this?
Yeah, it still has a big lead. Number 2 is Youngblood by 5 Seconds of Summer, and they're pretty good distance, so looks pretty safe for next week. Another song that you're going to mention, I think, in just a second, Trevor, maybe is the next number one airplay hit and maybe the next Hot 100 number one.
Ooh, okay. Well, let's look at the biggest contenders. Of course, most people would say that'd be the songs in number two and three. Number two, we've had a couple shuffles for the number two rank in the past couple of weeks. This week, same song that was number two last week holds once again. That's Travis Scott's Sicko Mode that you guys just heard. Big release with the music video coming out a couple weeks ago that got the momentum to get to number two, holding strong again there again this week. Number three, right behind it, we've got the collab between Bastille and Marshmello, the song Happier, which, Gary, I think is the one that you're eyeing potentially as the next number one on the Hot 100, which probably would be one of the biggest surprise tracks to get there in all of 2018.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the top of the year, if you'd have said, you know, I mean, we hadn't seen a lot from Bastille in a while, especially at this high on the pop charts. Marshmello, of course, had been a good presence for a while, but again, he's never quite been this high. And we just saw so much saturation with Drake across the board, Cardi B, Post Malone. I mean, everybody just felt like, you know, for a dance artist to get this high, you know, maybe something that people would not have expected could really happen at this point in the year.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it's not hip-hop. So I guess if you're not hip-hop, it's a surprise.
You're already like sort of an outsider.
To be
yeah.
number one. Yeah, definitely Bastille. You know, that it almost felt like they were locked into one-hit wonder status, although they've had a bunch of hits on the alternative songs chart. Everything they've put out since Pompeii has gone top 10, but they just haven't crossed over like that. So this is actually their biggest Hot 100 hit now. You think Pompeii for 5 years, that's been their big song, but this actually has charted higher. That got to number five. This is now at number three. You know, Marshmello's been on the rise for the last couple years or so. So I'm not as surprised that he is at number three. You know, we've had collaborations like this, Chainsmokers and Coldplay, rock and dance. So sort of a trend of how acts are collaborating, different genres. So we see collaborations of all different sounds. So, you know, on that level, not that surprising that we'd see an alternative band with the DJ. Good song. So certainly works for different formats. It's number one on Dance Mix Show Airplay. Number one this week on alternative Airplay chart as well. So first time there's ever been a co-build collaboration at number one in that chart's 30-year history of two lead artists. Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That song's moving up. Maroon 5 and Travis Scott are both down in overall metrics. So if all the songs, those three songs, move the same way they did this week, next week, Happier could be number one. It's a possibility.
Well, I know another song that people are going to have their eye on, speaking of surprise number ones, Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Really back in the mix. And I mean, I'm sure by now everybody has seen the story with Thank You Next, the song that she put out. I personally said almost as a song that you thought Taylor Swift would write, but she didn't.
Ariana's taken over the breakup?
I guess so. I mean, and she has done it in, I mean, just one of the great public ways. I mean, name-checking all of her exes, dropping the song Saturday Night, right before Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Everyone knows, of course, Pete Davidson starring on that. I'm sure that caught them all by surprise. And the reception has been really good. I mean, a lot of people thinking this could be her, maybe one of her best songs ever, possibly better than anything off her Sweetener project. Streams have been really good coming out of the gate as well. Number one on Spotify. Broke the record for the highest plays in a single day by any woman in the U.S. So over 4 million, on, I believe, yesterday, which would have been Monday. So all signs pointing towards a very good Hot 100 debut, it seems yeah. like. And maybe, like as you mentioned, with Maroon 5 kind of slipping, Travis Scott as well. I mean, this could possibly be the chance for Ariana to get her first career number one. What an intro and what a statement that would be.
Yeah. Is it a diss track or because it's done in such a nice way? Is it a different, a new type of diss track?
Well, I mean, I guess, I don't know.
Not that you're
I
the expert. That, yeah, I'm just wondering. I'm asking you specifically.
My diss track PhD. I mean, obviously, diss tracks have been kind of associated with hip-hop for the longest. And the fact that she's so name-checky, so public, there's nothing really sort of subtle about it. I guess it could be. I mean, I guess we've seen those kind of things, though. You know, I mean, everything from You're So Vain, if you think that's a diss track.
It's kind of one of those songs. There's a lot in country over the years that's more like, thank you for getting me to a better place. It's sort of that backhanded compliment that if not for you, I wouldn't be in this better place now going forward.
Yeah, I mean, that could be,
which yeah. I guess is that's a diss.
I mean, I guess it is a diss. Yeah.
But on Saturday Night Live that night after the song came out, did you see Pete Davidson his comment about the relationship on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, of course I saw that clip. So interesting sort of juxtaposition. There's rumors though that they apparently may have had to cut an entire segment that they had cooked up that was going to be maybe a little different tone.
Well, he's so snarky usually, and this felt very not scripted, but it felt very ooh, this is sensitive, Pete Davidson. It seemed a little different.
Yeah, but I guess you know, interesting how this relationship is playing out in public for so long, because part of the message is that Ariana seems to be sort of, why are you still doing, you know, talking about this so publicly? Why are you so, you know, trying to keep in the limelight with this? It's been something that I don't know, for somebody who's just broken up their engagement, you would, and I know we all cope differently, but it seems like, you know, you're really talking about this publicly in a lot of ways and trying to make light of it, I guess, but come on.
He's a comedian.
Maybe he's going to ride that all the way to the bank. The piggy bank? No!
That's a joke he would make. Well, being back home with his mother, laughing all the way to the piggy bank. That's a Pete Davidson joke.
Oh, good. All right, moving on from that, we got two more top tens to talk about. You heard them at the top of our medley countdown. Speaking of ex-diss tracks, we got another one in the top 10 this week by our friend Halsey in the top 10. Once again with the song Without Me, which many people are taking as a dig against former Flame G-Eazy. Song moving up to number 9 this week, jumping up 3 spots. Last week, number 12.
You don't have to say just what you did. I already know. I had to go and find out from them. So tell me how's it
also been? If you're a fan of sort of classic ex-revenge anthems, you'll note that Without Me interpolates a little bit of Justin Timberlake's Cry Me a River, so drawing inspiration there from probably one of the best-known pop revenge tracks of this century.
That's okay. Right. It's another diss track.
Yeah, supposedly, you know, Justin and Britney. So Halsey taking inspiration from Justin when, I mean, it's like a whole, you could draw like a little map of all this, you know, this 21st century drama. It's crazy, but inspiring good hits, top 10 hits across the board. All right, and right behind her, coming in at number 10 this week, another new top 10. You guys heard the song Mo Bamba by Sheck Wes. Coming up at number 10, a song that really had a good streaming rise for a while, seemed to settle back for a little bit, but now, especially being number 1 on Spotify for the past couple of days before Ariana took over, helping this song get into the top 10 of the Hot 100 for the first time. Gary, gotta ask, because this is a song that, you know, a lot of people not really sure how they feel about it, because you got sort of the off-key singing that's so loud for the first part of it, and then you kind of jump into the rap about two-thirds of the way in. As somebody, I'm going to take a guess, you don't listen to a ton of hip-hop. When you hear this song, you know, and you see how big a hit it's become, what do you think about it?
Let me say, if it was about a Boston Celtic, not an Orlando Magic player, it was called Kyrie Irving.
Hey. Amazing what that city loyalty will help you come through, folks. I'm telling you.
Also on the Hot 100, just outside the top 10, flying up from number 21 to number 11, Panic at the Disco with High Hopes, also goes number 1 on the Hot Rock Songs chart. This could be their first top 10 on the Hot 100 in 12 years. They haven't been in the top 10 since their first hit. I Write Sins, Not Tragedies, got to number 7 in 2006. So they've had hits since then, but haven't been at these heights for over a decade now. So song to watch for next week. It's been really gaining an airplay. It goes top 10 this week on the radio songs chart. So might have a rock song, believe it or not, in the top 10.
And a non-Imagine Dragons song. Yeah. Look at that.
So actually, Bastille, technically that's rock too. So could have two rock bands in the top 10 as of next week.
I was born a flex. Yes. Diamonds on my neck. I like boarding jets. I like morning sex. Woo. But nothing in this world that I like more than checks. All I really wanna see is the money. I don't really need a D, I need the money. All a bad bitch need is the money. I got pants in the coop. Bustin' out the roof.
And another song people have their eye on, the song Money by Cardi B. After its first full week on the chart, makes a jump up from number 54 where it debuted after having its first 3 days of sales and streaming, all the way up to number 13. So Cardi's money making those moves.
Money is her brand.
That's not a bad thing to have associated with you in any capacity.
Did you see the woman who won Powerball? Who won $198 million? She won $198 million. She took it all in one lump sum.
I would too. I don't want the government coming to me talking about in 10 years, oh, we ran out of money, we can't pay you, oh, we have a war to finance, we can't pay. No. Get me my check today.
If only we could turn back time, take back the day we said goodbye. Maybe your heart would still be mine. My love is only one corner.
All right, we're going to flip gears to an artist that we don't get to talk about much, really, running the top of the pop charts, but Andrea Bocelli, the world-renowned classical musician, wonderful voice, number one this week on the Billboard 200 with his new album, C. And if you're thinking classical albums, probably, you know, in the age of Drake, Adele, and Taylor Swift, not having a ton of chances to get to number one, well, you'd be right. It's actually the first time we've seen a classical album at number one on the Billboard 200 in more than a decade. Back in 2008, Josh Groban was the last person to grace the number one spot with his Christmas album, Noel, which I think people still kind of underestimate how massive a Christmas album in terms of sales that project was. But it's been 10 years
that
we have seen somebody in the classical realm be able to capture the number one spot. So really cool to see it. And again, one of those things that, especially as the chart now is consumption-based, with streaming being such a big component of it, you would think that the Drakes, the Migos, the Adeles, the Beyoncés would have it on lock, but Andrea able to come through.
Yeah, it's his 26th charted album, too, so never give up hope. Never know. That first number one could always just be your next release away.
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you
on the digital song sales chart, number one again for a fifth week, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper with Shallow from A Star Is Born. That's a new best for Gaga. We've been tracking that, how she last week tied Just Dance, Bad Romance, and Born This Way, all 4 week number ones. This is now her longest leading number one ever on the digital song sales chart. So a new peak at this point, a decade into her career on that chart. Here's something I was thinking, Trevor. Two of the biggest movies and music tie-ins right now are A Star Is Born and Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. That movie tie-in is that Gaga's name is based on the Queen song, Radio Gaga. They're both now back and big at the same time.
what a moment for Gaga-based things.
Oh, we were just talking about holiday music before. Josh Groban with Noel. How Andrea Bocelli is the first classical number one since Noel 10 years ago. Our holiday digital song sales chart is back, not quite at, obviously, peak sales yet because it's only early November.
Though that has not stopped some of y'all. I've seen the tweets, some of y'all, the day after Halloween. Yeah. Even your girl, Mariah Carey. Did you see the tweet she...
That's what I was going to mention.
Yeah.
All I Want for Christmas Is You is back to number one on this week's chart. 47 total weeks at number one. And Mariah knows the chart. She's watching the chart. She tweeted, wow, I haven't even put up my Christmas tree yet. She'll take the money, though, I'm sure.
I still want to know. She's probably made a killing off Christmas in a way that really artists can only dream of.
Yeah, probably back on the Hot 100 in the next few weeks, too. Last year, it got to the top 10 for the first time ever. So it's going to come back again this year.
Can it go all the way? That's the next. Can it get that 19th number one that the fans have been waiting a decade on? Maybe. Wouldn't that be something?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I just wanna
So we were just talking about Mariah with All I Want for Christmas Is You, originally out in 1994. Lauren Elena, country singer. She was born in 1994. She's on the country airplay chart this week with a song called Ladies in the 90s. Song is just a laundry list of 90s artists and titles.
Diss track, Ariana Grande style, or?
No, this is a happy. This is thank you. No sarcasm, nothing. She sings All Those Women Paved the Way for Me. So she calls up Britney Spears. She mentions No Scrubs, Strawberry Wine by Dina Carter, Dixie Chicks, Faith Hill, Shania Twain. Just how much she loves 90s music. And what's interesting is timing-wise, it's the second song that's just come out that does this. Walker Hayes has a song called 90s Country that just charted a few weeks earlier. It also mentions that song, Strawberry Wine, Dina Carter, Shania Twain, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Kenny Chesney, other people from the 90s. So just sort of all of a sudden, we've just got an explosion again of 90s country back. If you grew up with this, makes sense.
I thought you were going to say Mary J. Blige for a second.
No.
And I was going to say, whoa, look at Mary crossing boundaries, but...
I was wondering why you looked so shocked there.
Yeah.
For a second. One other chart move I wanted to mention. We were talking about Saturday Night Live before. If you're watching Maggie Rogers, she was the musical guest. She did her new single, Light On. Hits a new high for her on our Adult Alternative Songs chart this week. Light On's up to number 12. She previously got to number 13 with Alaska last year. It's trending towards the top 10 next week. So I'm sure a lot of people are watching, and you know, she hasn't crossed over yet beyond Adult Alternative Radio. The song really sounds like it could. Really poppy, great hook. I think this really probably opened her to a lot of new fans. So yeah, something to watch. Maggie Rogers heading towards the top 10 on the Adult Alternative Songs chart. All right, so we've talked a lot of Ariana Grande, Pete Davidson, Saturday Night Live. Keep talking more, Ariana Grande.
Let's go.
Well, it's big chart news this week for Ariana. So she goes number one on the Pop Songs Airplay chart with God is a Woman. And at the same time, she hits the top 10 with Breathin'. So both songs are from her album Sweetener. And what's really different is they're both being promoted as singles at the same time. Usually singles are spaced out, but Republic Records is promoting them pretty much at the same time because now more than ever, people have access to an album in so many more ways than they ever did before. So the album is really more out there than ever.
Well, let's give a shout out to our friend Streaming for helping pave the way. This Breathin' was the song that was the biggest non-single when the album came out, biggest top 100 debut for the non-singles. So smart on the record company to realize this is the song that people are gravitating towards. They like it. They love it. Why not give it to them?
And you know, if people, now we can see how much they're streaming tracks on albums. It kind of doesn't make as much sense, maybe in certain cases, as in the past, to just wait a few months for the next single. Might as well capitalize on that momentum. So that's what Republic is doing. The question then for radio is that too much Ariana Grande? Do you want to be playing her every few minutes, or is there going to be some burnout? So let's find out right from the source. Let's go to Jagger program director of WKSS, KISS 95.7 in Hartford, is going to talk about Ariana. They're playing both of those songs, number one and number two, on the station this week. It's a lot of Ariana Grande, but they wouldn't be playing them if it didn't work. So Jagger's going to talk about that and all things Top 40 coming up on the Billboard Chart Beat Podcast.
You love her how I move you. You love her how I touch you, my one. When all is said and done, you believe God is a woman. And I feel it after midnight, a feeling that you can't fight, my one. It lingers when we're done, you believe God is a woman.
Jagger from KISS 95.7 in Hartford, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Trevor was wondering, Jagger, if, how you're related to Mick Jagger.
I wish I could say I was related to Mick Jagger, but that would be just a really good stage name. I'm not as good of a dancer as Mick.
Is Mick a good dancer?
I've seen some pretty good concert footage of the Rolling Stones. I'd say he's pretty good.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast, Jagger. Just wanted to talk about a couple things, but starting with Ariana Grande, it's kind of different what's going on with her songs on the pop songs chart right now. She has two huge hits at the same time. So God is a Woman, but Breathing is, no pun intended, Breathing right up its neck. You usually don't see two songs become hits by the same artist at the same time, because traditionally labels work one song at a time to radio. But I was talking to Republic Records, and they said that in a streaming era, maybe that doesn't make sense anymore, because people get the album, they're streaming it as they want. Maybe radio promotion should think along those lines more. How's it on radio, playing both songs at the same time?
You know, it's working great. We actually have both songs in power rotation as of last week, and you know, we have five powers on KISS, so it all evens out. You know, you'll get, like, you know, the nice space between the two Ariana hits, but hey, these songs are monster hits, and that's what we're in the business of, playing a hit and playing hits on our station. So we couldn't ask for a better situation with Ariana Grande right now.
Is one working better than the other? God is a Woman, in some ways feels like, maybe to me, more of a traditional radio single, but Breathe in some ways kind of feels a little bit more like what pop is evolving into, a little more down-tempo in 2018.
I would think it's the opposite to me. I think that Breathing's more of what is a traditional hit to me, and God is a Woman is a little like left field for her, but there's no denying her right now with No Tears Left to Cry being the first hit off the album. That was a huge hit as well. She's on a good run, and you're right what you said, by the way, Gary, that you know, we're in a new world now when it comes to picking hits. And, you know, we saw a lot of great early information, a lot of good early research on Breathing. You know, that's why a lot of stations started playing it as the other song was climbing the chart as well. So it is unprecedented to have two songs in the top 10 at the same time, with songs both moving up at the same time. Because as of this, you know, chat we're having, God is a Woman's almost at number one on our chart, right? So we're almost there.
Does it feel like Ariana Grande is at a career peak? Because I feel like it's one of those situations where you look at No Tears, you look at God as a Woman, you see what Breathing's doing, all massive radio hits. But maybe because this year has been just so much about Drake and Post Malone, you kind of forget just how great a year she's having. Does this feel like, you know, as big or bigger than maybe her 2014 when Problem, Bang Bang, all those things were coming out?
I would say so. I'd say she's at her peak right now. I mean, those other hits were huge for her as well. And even the last 2 years when she had Into You and Dangerous Woman and Side to Side, those were all big hits for her too. But it's interesting going from what the first album was to the second album to the third album to what this current album is for her. She's taking advantage of the fact that we don't have Rihanna with hits right now. We don't have Katy Perry with new product to play that works for radio. So she's kind of taken that ball and running with it, technically, I would say.
What do you think the state of pop is right now? We were just saying on the podcast how pop is at a real low point in terms of Hot 100 hits right now. It's all hip-hop. Is pop strong? Is Ariana Grande carrying pop? How do you feel as a programmer of a pop station? This is your lifeblood.
You know, I don't really think that pop's struggling at all. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that might see that or say that. I don't see it as a struggle right now. I see it as our job is to play all the hits that makes sense for us to play. And I think you're seeing a lot of top 40 stations do the right thing when it comes to playing the right hip hop records, and you know, and still being relevant with the other records like the Marshmallows or the Panic at the Discos. You know what I mean? Like everybody's kind of, it's all about weaving the fine line to make yourself a really good solid CHR station, top 40 station. So I don't think, I mean, personally for us here in Hartford, we've been seeing a nice trend in the ratings. So what we're doing on the station has been working for us. So I don't see it being a bad cycle at all.
You mentioned High Hopes by Panic at the Disco. It kind of feels like a little bit of a surprise hit. Turned out to be their biggest hit in about a decade. You've got that. You've got Broken, Lovely the Band. Couple rock hits, but seems like this has been going on for a while now. Maybe no more than one or two rock hits at a time on Top 40, right?
Yeah, I'd say that's how it's been lately. And there's sometimes where we're surprised by a certain rock-leaning song we think is going to be really big. Like one song I would give you the example of from maybe the end of last year, beginning of this year, was One Foot by Walk the Moon. I thought that should have been a huge top 10 hit, but it wasn't. It was like a Flash in the Pan song, which I thought would have been a really good, you know, comeback hit for them after Shut Up and Dance. But yeah, we're not seeing as many super huge rock records crossing over, but you did mention the two that are hot right now.
And going back to a genre that you brought up and probably is on the forefront of everybody's mind these days is hip hop. And you kind of alluded to your station and how it's navigating the field of hip hop. We've seen, of course, for the past couple of years, just how massive it's been on streaming in particular. So what is that conversation like internally? Because for a lot of radio programmers, of course, you see the numbers, you see the on-demand stream, so you know that's what the kids are listening to. What are those conversations like inside when you're trying to figure out how to rectify sort of the obvious data in front of you, but also keeping true to a top 40 spirit?
Well, it's all about balance for us, and that's the key. You don't want to be too much of what you're not. You want to be who you are to your audience, you know, and they know when they come to our station, they're going to hear Post Malone, they're going to hear Drake, but they're also going to hear Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes. You know what I mean? Like, it's all about who are you and what are you? And for us personally, it's about balance. I mean, we're gonna definitely play the right records when it comes to the time, like for Juice WRLD or for Drake or for like you mentioned, Post Malone. We actually just added Travis Scott to our night show last week. I know we might be a little behind the curve on that one, but we wanted to make sure it was right for us.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you think in terms of Drake and Post Malone, were those some artists as well that you had to, you know, that you took a while to get on, but then when you realized, wait a minute, this actually fits just fine? Or what was that time frame like?
Actually, you know, for us, you know, with Post Malone, it took a second to see where Rockstar was going. But then once we saw where it was going, we're like, this is fine. And from there, it's been a no-brainer. Like, every song from Post Malone has been, you know, a no-brainer for us to add right away. Like, either Better Now or the new single Sunflower or... you know what I mean? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, it just became, you saw he became very much the fabric of the format really fast. Drake's kind of always been there, I think. Drake's always had a really good top 40 presence for the past 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure some people thought, I mean, even when you look at Juice WRLD, you're saying Travis Scott, you know, people might just sort of assume that, okay, that's for the urban audience, that's just who they are. But when you hear some of these songs, especially in the past couple of years, so much experimentation with, you know, with melody and with different sounds, it's not just straight hardcore rap anymore. I mean, these guys really, that melody, that formula fits right in with what's going on.
Oh, totally. And that's one thing that I would say has played into our format, at least for, I would say, at least 10 years now, guys, is that when there's a really great hip-hop song that has a great hook, a great melodic hook, that usually is what wins over the mainstream audience, you know?
And that's really becoming a part of what hip hop is now. We keep seeing these lines blur between what's pop and what's hip hop, and you've got rappers singing. It's all kind of becoming one genre more than ever.
And we're cool with that. We like when Drake gives us a song, you know, that has that kind of sing feel to it, you know. And I mean, he could sing, and I think Post Malone's proven it with Better Now. That was all. There was no rap in that song. So,
is it fair to say that rap has saved pop music? Is that too bold of a claim?
No, I think it's fair to say. I think it's fair to say. I mean, you have, I mean, gosh, this happens with every hot streak, I guess. With alternative, it happened in the 90s, and certain things cross over and become pop. I think that there comes a time when a Drake song becomes a pop hit, and it becomes a pop song. And I think that Drake's more considered to be, I mean, of course, we know he's huge on the rhythm side, but when it comes to top 40, I think that Drake has become more of a no-brainer artist as well for a lot of guys to add and girls to add around the country.
Yeah, that's true, right? Historically, in the 90s, all the alternative songs were crossing over. Rock kind of saved top 40, or 94, 95, 96. So
exactly.
Cycles.
That's something I remember from the beginning of my career. That was very strong in that time frame. So we're seeing like that kind of happen more of the hip-hop world now today.
Speaking of different sounds on the station that seems like you don't hear too much of on Top 40, but there's Shallow.
I mean, come on, Lady Gaga starring in the movie with Bradley Cooper, it makes a lot of sense for us to play, and it sounds really good.
Did you think it was a hit at first, or the more
movie
has become,
you know,
so big?
Actually, I did. I remember listening to the song before the movie came out, and I just wanted to kind of hear it. And I just remember listening to it on my phone going, wow, this could be something. There's something about it. It's very powerful, and it grabs your attention. And if you guys think about when you were growing up, when you're a kid growing up, which songs were ballads that you fell in love with? That's kind of what I think this song could be today for a lot of people, how they feel about love songs or ballads.
Well, it's funny because it kind of plays right into this question of genre and what do people want? Because you look back at some of the projects that some other pop stars, I mean, even in a sense, kind of Gaga herself with her last album, which, you know, between her, Justin Timberlake, Katy Perry seemed kind of formulated to what they thought people would like, and those didn't work out so well. You have a song like Shallow, which I don't know if anyone expected to be a pop single, you know, promoted, and maybe if you'd gone in and said, this is a song that we're going to create, people would say, okay, that's not really what's going to happen on radio, but cool. Then that turns out to be the hit, and you look at some of these artists like Juice WRLD, who are blending these things who you would never really expect to get this kind of success. And those are the ones that pop. It's just a real flip from what you would expect in a lot of ways.
No, I would agree with that. This is definitely not a Lady Gaga-esque song that we know from her Monster days. You know, it's kind of interesting to hear what it is. And you're right. It's not something that the formula wouldn't be to say this is an instant top 40 hit. But the fact that everything plays into it, especially with our format, that's one thing I'm proud to say about top 40, is that it's all about being what people want, what's hot, what's pop culture. And that this movie, since it's been released, has been a pop culture item for our listeners. And I think that's why the song makes a lot of sense to give it a fair shot, you know?
No, that's a good point, because now I'm thinking of The Cure, which she put out after the Joanne songs. Maybe didn't quite connect the way she or the label was expecting, and The Cure kind of seemed like, all right, we'll put out a song that this is what radio sounds like. But yeah, it feels like this song is making more of a buzz.
You know, I'm surprised by The Cure. I thought that was a perfect Lady Gaga song. So yeah, that's a good point. And this one actually sounds more country, but it's crossed over pretty nicely to Top 40.
That's a nice thing that as long as everyone's been doing this, you still get surprised sometimes when a song breaks through. Listeners always decide.
That's one of our favorite things about the job. when you kind of give something a shot, you're like, hey, you know what, let's see what happens with it. And when you see how it's kind of taking off, it makes you proud. Like, oh, that's cool. We kind of felt that. We saw that moment. We're happy to see it kind of rise and do its thing.
Just keep breathing and breathing and breathing and breathing.
So there's no such thing at the moment, anyway, as too much Ariana Grande, if that's what
I don't think
people
there's
want.
No, I think that she's on point. I mean, we've seen this before, though, guys. You know that. There's times when Katy Perry was hot like this, or Rihanna was hot like this. It happens, and I think that it's a good thing for the format to have God as a Woman and Breathing both climbing at the chart at the same time.
We had Bieber just about a year ago. It seemed like he was on every song. You were probably programming him every half hour, every 45 minutes.
That's true. That gets tough, by the way. That's a challenge. I don't know if you guys know that. It's pretty tough.
You make the rules. You think you can't. You have to have artist separation. Do you find that listeners care that much nowadays in an era where they're making their own playlists more control than
they ever
have? I
think that's a great question. I think that's a great question. And I think that maybe when I started in the music programming side of this job, it was a little more like the rules were like really strict. Now I think, you know, people are looser, and plus we, you know, quarter hours, you know, as long as you, that's how we look at radio and how we do our jobs. And if we separate them enough, it's not going to be a point where you're playing Justin Bieber too much, you're playing Ariana Grande too much. I think it's just a matter how you play them and how you separate them is how it works.
What's your favorite Rolling Stones or Mick Jagger song?
My favorite? Man, that's a good question.
Oh, you've got to be
Would it be blasé to say Start Me Up? Hey, I'm used to it, guys. It's okay.
All right, Jagger. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys. There's a place called Kokomo.
All right, and a nice little beach time classic to hopefully warm your spirits as we head into the depths of fall. But that was Kokomo by our friends The Beach Boys, hit number one on the Hot 100 with that song this week back in 1988. Of course, big help that the song came from the film Cocktail, starring probably the hottest actor on the planet, both in terms of financial power, and I guess a lot of people would probably say in the looks department as well, that is Tom Cruise. So as Kokomo hits number one, it actually, as many chart fans will know, completes a journey that was 22 years in the making for the Beach Boys.
Right.
Had last been number one on the Hot 100 back in 1966. So really, I guess at that point, you kind of must think it'll probably never happen again. Good Vibrations in 66 was the last time they had been number one. That was three number ones in the 60s for them. And then wait 22 years for that fourth number one. One of the longest gaps between consecutive number one hits we've ever seen in Hot 100 history. And that is going to lead us into today's flashback game, in a sense. So we're going to look back at some of the longest gaps between number one hits, consecutive number one hits, not this career span. It's not between the first and last. It's just between
like, two numbers.
Yeah. How long you had to wait to get back to the number one spot.
Okay.
So Beach Boys, as I have a little research sheet here, looks like they are in second place overall. One artist had to wait longer than 22 years before they were back at number one. I'm sure this is probably pretty famous, actually. I'm going to throw it out there. It was 25 years. 25-year gap. Quarter century. Some people's careers don't even last 25 years, let alone having number one hits. Do you know who hit number one in 1974 and then did it once again in 1999?
Well, you didn't have to tell me the years.
I thought you might have needed a hint, but of course I underestimated your power.
Yeah, believe, but sure.
Sure, yeah. Believe, number one in 1999. And before that, it had been 25 years since Dark Lady back in 1974. All right, we're going to keep going. We're talking a 20-year gap for this next artist. I guess if I give you the song, it's going to be too easy. So the years we're looking at, 1967 and 1987. 20-year gap.
Aretha Franklin.
That's correct. Yeah. Let's go. Let's keep going. Now you got to name the songs.
Respect, and I Knew You Were Waiting For Me with George Michael.
The river was deep, I didn't falter. The mountain was high, I still believe. The valley was low, he didn't stop me. No, no. I knew you were waiting for me.
Gary's too good at this. All right, we're going to talk we're going to say 805 weeks. This one may be a little famous. There's a little sort of name given to this curse, if you want to say. Let's talk between 1976 and 1992. So that is a gap we are looking at of about 16 years. Ooh, Gary looks stumped.
Elton John.
All right, let's see. Keep going.
That's correct, right?
That is correct. Both songs duets.
Oh, okay. Well, now I know what the 76 one was.
Let's go.
You said both duets. Don't Go Breaking My Heart with Kiki Dee, and a remake of Elton John's own Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me with George Michael. Again, George Michael. He was good at bringing people back to number one, which makes sense. He was one of the biggest artists of the 80s into the 90s.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, some people, of course, thinking that after Elton John did the duet with Kiki Dee, the supposed Kiki curse.
Kiki wasn't cursed in 2018 for Drake.
Kiki was hot. And Kiki was hot in 2018.
I think we could say the Kiki curse is done.
But some people suggesting that the Kiki curse, you know, even though Elton John had plenty of hits out in the 1980s, and I guess we want to give him a technicality, hit number one with Dionne Warwick and Friends, with That's What Friends Are For.
Yeah.
But none of his own songs were able to get to number one, which after having so many number ones in the 70s, you know, to have that dry spell in the 80s, I guess some people maybe unfairly blamed it on Kiki. But George Michael was the savior, and he broke that curse. All right, and to wrap up the top five of artists, we're going to flash pretty much all the way back to the top of the Hot 100. We're going to look at somebody who had a 15-year gap between 1959, so just the year right after the Hot 100 was born in 1958, and they had to wait all the way until 1974. Who would this artist be?
Paul Anka?
See, I'm so tired of Gary. Okay, I'm so.
This is like on Jeopardy when someone gets the entire category, they get the applause.
Okay, all right, here. Oh wow! Oh my goodness, he's so smart. Oh wow! Oh, he's so. Oh wow! He just got $2,000. Incredible! Way to go! 1959, one of the first ever Hot 100 number ones. Some of the artists who really had to wait the longest to get back to the number one spot, and as you know, I mean, Cher, Aretha, Elton, we're talking some of the biggest artists ever to grace the Hot 100. So even some of the all-time greats have to wait for it. But I'm sure they would all say that it was worth the wait. All right, and that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Chart Beat Podcast. Join us next week. We'll keep an eye on that race for number one and see if Maroon 5 can hold on for an eighth week. If Travis Scott is going to move up and get his first career number one on the chart, or are Bastille and Marshmello going to plot to take over the number one spot, or is Ariana Grande going to just crash the party and get her first number one, something I know her fans have been waiting on for a good number of years. So all those scenarios in play. Of course, be sure to tune in next week when we will find out who is the winner.
In the meantime, join the Chart Beat Podcast again tomorrow. A second one this week posting. We're not going to be on this one. This one's all Jim Asker, our Nashville correspondent and country chart manager in Nashville. He's going to be talking to our special guest, Billboard cover star Kane Brown, who's going to talk about his really incredible rise in just a few years from posting covers on YouTube, not really the traditional rise in Nashville.
And bringing a diversity to the stage, that something you really don't see a lot of in country music. There's not too much diversity in race there, so navigating that as well.
So Kane Brown, along with his manager, Martha Earls. So we've never had an artist and a manager together before. We've had label executives. So should be a really interesting dynamic. Again, it's posting tomorrow. So Jim Asker from Billboard interviewing Kane Brown and his manager, Martha Earls, on a special extra podcast tomorrow. Trevor and I will be back next week. We have a special guest next week, too. Really excited about this one. Bebe Rexha is going to join us along with Dave and Yael Penn from Hit Songs Deconstructed. So if you've listened to the podcast before, you know we have Dave and Yael on a lot, and we break down songs, or really we listen to Dave breaking down songs as expertly as he does. We thought it would be fun to take it further and have Dave do that with the artist of the song he's talking about. So we got Bebe Rexha on the line, and she's going to talk all about how Meant to Be with Florida Georgia Line became a historic hit. As we're speaking, 49 weeks, it's a record, at number one on the Hot Country Songs chart.
So stay tuned for all of that coming at you in the next week. And it feels like since Ariana Grande has been the main theme of this podcast, maybe it's only appropriate that we close with her once again. And I guess we should really close with a song that's been on everybody's minds and certainly on everybody's tweets this past weekend.
Pete Davidson, that song?
No, that song is banned. That song is banned, canceled for good. We're going to play the song, of course, that many people have been talking about over the past week and very possibly could be your new Hot 100 number one. We'll find out next week. If you haven't heard it yet, if you tried to avoid the zeitgeist and you don't want to be caught up in the drama, well, that moment is over, because here we go. We'll see you next week. This is...
You said see you next week. I'm not supposed to say that on a podcast.
See, this is exactly why I'm going to just do this to Gary. Thank you. Next.
Thought I'd end up with Sean, but it wasn't a match. Wrote some songs about Ricky, now I listen and laugh. Even almost got married, and for Pete I'm so thankful. Wish I could say thank you to Malcolm, cause he was an angel. One taught me love, one taught me patience, and one taught me pain.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.